Hey, By the Book listeners, Kristen here. Did you know that you can receive a weekly By the Book affirmation minisode plus the rules of every book that we've lived by? It's easy. All you have to do is become a member of our Patreon community. To learn more, go to patreon.com/listen to buy the book. Again, that's patreon.com/listen to buy the book, or just look at the episode description from today's show.
The following podcast contains barnyard language and some adult content. So maybe listen on headphones if you're at work or around small children. Now, here's the show.
Hey, Jolenta.
Yes, Kristen.
We have been talking a lot about celebrity, what makes someone a celebrity, what advice celebrities should give, all that kind of stuff. But one thing we have yet to do is actually talk about what it's like to be a celebrity.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right. How do we remedy this problem?
I mean, I guess the easiest way would be to talk to a celebrity.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be even better if we could talk to a celebrity who wrote one of the books we actually live by this season, too?
Oh, yes, it would. And I think I know just the person we should talk to.
Ooh, I cannot wait, because I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
And I'm Kristen Meinzer.
And I'm Spencer Pratt.
And this is By the Book.
That's right. It's time for another By the Book bonus episode, our between seasons treat for your ears. And today, we're diving into the question, what is it actually like to be a celebrity with a real celebrity?
Mm-hmm. And joining us for this conversation is Spencer Pratt. We live by his book, How to Be Famous, Our Guide to Looking the Part, Playing the Press, and Becoming a Tabloid Fixture, that he co-wrote with his equally famous wife, Heidi Montag. Spencer has been on reality TV forever, and he knows what it's like to be a celebrity.
Yes. His credits include VH1's Princes of Malibu, The Hills, Marriage Boot Camp, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Celebrity Big Brother. The list goes on and on and on and on.
Spencer, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to talk about the book that I feel like everyone should have read. So I'm glad, you know, they just overcharged for it. It should have been $3, not $20.
Oh, it is worth all 20 of those dollars, though. Jolenta and I love this book. We love this book.
I appreciate that. But at the time, I think we had too much hate for anybody to drop $20. So, you know. If we were Taylor Swift, I think we could have pulled it off.
Oh, my gosh. Can I start right in with a question about the book?
Rock and roll. I will try to remember.
Okay, so you wrote How to Be Famous with your wife, Heidi Montag. And you guys put this out in 2009, I believe. So you had already, like, fully blown up. You were huge stars. Did you write this book because it was the actual plan that you executed on The Hills? Or did you sort of work backwards and deconstruct your rise to fame after the fact?
So our ghostwriter on this was our teammate, Peter Grossman, who was the photo editor of Us Weekly at the time. That's the only reason
Wow.
We didn't have him credited, because he was still the photo editor at Us Weekly when this happened. So everything in the book was the strategy from day one with Peter Grossman as our, like, teammate, ally at Us Weekly. So, yeah, we deconstructed, I guess, but technically that was the map. That was the guide. That was the game plan. So it wasn't like we went back and looked at, like, what did we do? It was very strategic with Peter from the jump.
Wow.
That's so interesting.
I love that you already had this cooperative relationship with the press, even in the writing of your book. But, you know, in the last 10 years or so since you wrote the book, the whole fame machine has changed quite a bit. Nowadays, the paparazzi are not necessarily as important as Instagram or putting out your own content and so on. So how has that affected you and Heidi and how you play the part at this point?
So once that change happened, I wanted to write the new book. I forget what the title, it was like How to Stay Famous or something like that was. And like, we went out with it, and it, since this one didn't sell, nobody was like, you know, biting at the bit. And then I think as a publisher, you know, people would be like, well, they're not famous. But actually in this world, fame is so relative to like, what are your views on these apps? What, how many brand deals you get, who's paying you to hold things. So there's a different, you know, like I wouldn't say I'm, you know, Justin Bieber famous right now, but I would say I'm more famous than I was when The Hills was airing because of apps and so many different platforms. And, you know, at one time when I was Snapchatter of the year before the algorithm turned into, you have to buy ads to, you know, which I understand business models, but pre ads on Snapchat, you know, I was doing 8 million views a snap. So like The Hills, and that's just me and my content. Whereas The Hills, I was only on for 1 minute an episode, and peak viewership's probably 5 million. So fame changed as in, yeah, the tabloids, you know, I still buy them. And I was just recently featured in People Magazine's 100 Great Reasons Why to Love America. I think I was number 72.
Ooh, so don't hold give on. Me, tell us more about that. Please tell us more about that right now.
For feeding hummingbirds. So, you know, so I beat Tom Brady was number 93. It still means the world to me. You know, I'm not shading tabloids, but, you know, they don't get, you know, and I just shout out Dan Wakeford, the editor of People. I just saw him showing statistics, and the monthly subscribers in digital still is a huge number, and it's actually grown so digitally. But that 2 million a week sales in the markets, like that world's gone. And to me, that was the hype. Like I would go in the markets and just being on all those, you know, when you check out, being on all those freaking things was the coolest thing on the planet. And for me personally, for my hustle. So that is like that, that hurts to not have that world matter where people like, you know, there's still people like my mom who will, you know, grab the magazines and buy them. So there's still OGs that care
my mom
about.
Too.
But it has shifted so much. And so, but this book, I haven't skimmed it. I would say everything still applies in the sense that you would just transfer. Instead of doing it for paparazzi, you would do that for your Instagram, and you still need to, you know, so the overarching themes are all still relevant. And now, you know, maybe like the beefs that you would have on your reality show, you just transfer over to now like a fellow TikToker. You would beef with a YouTuber if you're a TikToker.
Right.
So they're still there. It's just, you would have to apply the logic to today's landscape.
No, it totally works. That's why we're obsessed with it. Like, we followed the advice. I got a few, like, 1,000 more followers on, I think, Twitter and Instagram. Kristen, like, got in a fight on air with Piers Morgan, like, the week he quit and, like, gained, like tens or hundreds of thousands of followers. Like, it was fucking incredible how well the advice worked and how easy it is to apply to, like, any agenda.
I mean, Peter Grossman is like an actual genius, like 100%. So this isn't like, oh, Heidi and Spencer are just like wing this. Like we had somebody who had already been in the game, you know, involved in the Brad and Angelina setup in the desert. Like this is an OG goat of the fame game that, you know, we had as our mentor. So like I back that book and what's in there because based off of Peter's pedigree and juice. So, and he was also in meetings every day with Janice Min, who's like the ultimate legend. OG legend.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you know, we got to talk to Janice and enough where I felt like I took her powers a little bit from her aura. but I got to reread the book. I always said it's the perfect book, even for politics. Like if I was a politician or like a campaign manager, this is like 101, you know, if you're going to try to you know, have beef with whoever, no matter what side you're on. Like, this is the go-to political book also.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. It definitely worked for us. And I would say we even dabbled a little bit in politics. Wouldn't you say that, Jolenta, in our own way with this book?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's just sort of like naturally leads there eventually.
Yes.
I assume you'll be running for office.
You know, maybe 10 years ago, but I feel like it's so like negative, no matter what, you know, it's a lose, lose, lose. And I already played like the hated character and I'm trying to phase like, that world out.
Trump like, sort of ruined that as far as like the most hated politician could ever
be. And it's like when he first started, it was like funny, ha ha. Like, and if that had stayed, you know, maybe, but then it just all got so dark across the board that I don't see the perks. And then when I was in the jungle for I'm a Celebrity, Rod Blagojevich told me when I was like, I'm going to go into politics like you. And he was like, don't go in. Like, I forget what he's quote. He's like, I missed the quote, but it was so scary. I was like, well, I'm not going to sell any like Senate seats, but the overall theme was, it was like, oh, this doesn't actually sound fun.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we're back, we're going to dive into what it's actually like on the set and behind the scenes when you're a reality TV star. All right, we are back with our very special guest, Spencer Pratt. And Spencer, we now have some questions about life as a reality TV star.
The Hills is back. We have The Hills New Beginnings. But, you know, reality TV and MTV are totally different beasts since The Hills first went on the air. And so how much has production changed? Are people self-producing a lot more? I feel like social media and, like, self-producing go hand in hand.
That is actually... You know, I just got in trouble, so I got to watch my words.
Oh, shoot, sorry.
No. I just got to articulate this because I just recently got in trouble. My issue with my fellow coworkers, because I don't even think they're a cast because they're that bad, is that they image craft, which is the term the showrunner from season one, why she pretty much quit and was like, forget this cast. Is they image craft so crazy and hide all their actual maybe something that's interesting in their lives that they hide and they treat the reality show like an Instagram lens and a filter. And they think that being on reality TV is just promo to like, look, everyone like me so I can sell things or, you know. And then there's people like Heidi and I that just, there's no difference between how we are in front of a camera because we film ourselves all day long on Snapchat or IG story. So our audience knows, like, they see right through a bad edit or people trying to say things about us that aren't true because our audience literally has watched us since now we're at like 5.5 years, I think, of storying, like when story started. So there's people that have watched us all day, every day for 5 years plus that are like, this is a joke. So if you try to image craft against people who are so authentic, you just get smoked. And so that is the problem. The flip side is there's people that like want to be famous and will go all in now. So, you know, being self-aware can make the show like that. Lisa Renner on The Housewives. So I don't know what she does for camera, but it comes out like I'm not even a fan of her. I'm just saying I just appreciate anytime Heidi's watching, I'm like, dang, she just brings it. So whether or not she even is image crafting, I don't even know, because it's like
she's either that like, good of an actor or or just that, like putting it all out there.
So yeah, that is what shifted. And also that's the other biggest problem in this new day. Like back when we were famous on reality TV, like only Heidi and I, like haters could get to us. Like they'd find, there was nowhere to even leave comments or DMs or like, you know, but they would find me. Like I knew they were there, you know, because we were on covers of magazines. And so there would be the slander, but now everyone like gets in their head. If last week's episode or last season, somebody was like, I can't believe blah, blah, blah always does that. Then they're in their head like, oh, I'm not going to do that next season. It's like, no, that's maybe that was good TV. Like, do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're making a TV show. It's not, you're not on a reality show to try to be like, look how I'm the perfect human. Mm-hmm. Like, get out of here with that.
I'm curious, the way you're talking about Lisa and about your own experience on reality TV, you say on the one hand, you know, you don't want to necessarily craft an image, you just want to be yourself. But in a way, you are performing at the same time. Do you see yourself as an actor in some ways?
These other people are definitely bad actors, 100%. I say exactly what I would say in any setting, no matter what. Like, so at this point, after you've already been like the hated person, like, you know, for so long, it's like, I never like, oh no, is that going to come off wrong? So I don't get in my head, you know, like I say what I would really say to that person, or, you know, maybe it's more heightened. Like, I, in real life, I wouldn't talk to these people. So there's the, you know, like, you know, that's the real life. I'm being like,
that makes sense.
So
yeah.
In the sense, I'm being paid to talk to you. So I'll tell you how I feel about you. It's like, oh, I don't like you. Like, but then you also, you get in your head that it's like, I actually don't get paid enough to talk to you how I really would talk to you. Cause I don't even want to give you a storyline. And that becomes a thing where, if I was getting paid 2009 money, like, I would be bringing it on everybody. I would be exposing everyone's dirt that I know. It'd be worth it. Like, to just look like, you know, like, this guy, oh my God, like, he's the worst. Why is he putting everyone's business out there? It's like, well, if you're not putting your business out there on a reality show, when it's supposed to be, like, I'll do that. But I don't get paid enough to just literally look like nuclear destruct mode.
Right.
Like, you know, so I'll, you know, I'll do my life and I'll say like, yeah, I don't like that person or da 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 da. Like, but do you want me to be extra? Like, I need a raise.
Having been on both sides of the camera, because you were a straight up like producer creator of Princess of Malibu, right?
Yeah, that I would say made I came into the hills. That's why I got so hated. I came in just like telling Heidi, we got to do this, we got to script it, like, you know. And the producer of The Hills was my employee 2 months before on Princess of Malibu. So Sean Travis, the executive producer of The Hills, literally had just worked for me. So my like relationship with him and how we were like for The Hills, we had a thing called Operation Upstage. And the goal was every episode, Heidi and I to take the A storyline from LC, whose show it was, you know. And if it, we didn't do Operation Upstage, we would have always been the B story. So like, oh, if we came off looking bad or fighting or all these things, it was all just to take the A storyline. So it was smart in the sense that like, we ended up starting to get paid way more, da 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 da, the tabloids and everything. But from the audience perspective, it turned negative, obviously, because we were just like ruthless mercenaries.
Do you think, is it harder being in, it's harder being in front of the camera than just producing, right? Because being in front of the camera, you're always somewhat self-producing, yeah?
There's good producers and there's bad producers. So season one, I saw the best producer I've seen in years, this woman, Lauren Weber. And her whole thing is, I follow the truth. Mm. Like, I don't even image craft in front of me. No, not using that. That's fake. Like, she will just burn your whole skit down. And like, to the point where all the cast was like complaining about her, and they got her fired because she was so good that like people didn't want their real lives. So, and then they bring in this bootleg producer, this horrible one, and she just let everyone, you know, she enabled So if you want to be a good producer, it is more challenging than the talent, because you're having to get things out of people that now don't want to do that, too good for that, and
so have their whole idea of what they want to look like.
Yeah, so it depends. If you're a bad producer, it's the easiest thing in the world. You just like show up and like pretend like you're typing, and you know,
let it go. Yeah.
Now, Spencer, you clearly know how to play the fame game, but Something we've noticed is that a lot of celebrities like writing books about things they are not even known for or that they're just learning about. Like, for example, TV actors who write about health and wellness or write about things as if they're registered dietitians or medical experts shilling, you know, advice on meditation or on things that we don't necessarily see them as being experts in. And I'm curious, have you ever thought of doing that as well? Or do you want to stick to what you're best at, writing about being famous? Or how do you feel about those other authors writing about things that they're not necessarily known for?
I'm in the camp of, like, if somebody's paying you to do something, that's so impressive type person.
Like, yeah. You know, like, honestly, yeah.
Like, yeah, like, get your money. Like, I'll write any book somebody wants to pay me to write. I'll write about yoga, you name it.
That's a good point.
I'm over on the hustler game. So if somebody wants to pay me to write a book on cooking, I will teach burrito class. Like,
yes.
So that's where I'm at. I obviously laugh about it, and I think it's funny. And like Kanye's famous audio when he's like, what does Lady Gaga know about cameras or whatever? And it's like, dang, who knows? But she got to be the creative director of Polaroid or whatever. Good for that hustler, you know.
Yeah.
So I see both sides, but I love getting checks. So
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's hilarious. There's the, like, what I just think is so funny are the celebrities now taking checks that they would have never taken, like the level of commercials you'll see a celebrity do now. And like,
right,
the narration and the audio, like, mm-hmm. that was a big change in the game where agents started just taking up like everyone's money. It's like big stars now go after everything versus before it was like their big movie. Pretty much that's it, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now it's like anything.
Okay, we are going to take one more quick break, but stick around because we have one more very important question for Spencer when we come back.
My book!
All right, we are back with Spencer Pratt and Kristen. This is a very important question for you, so I think you need to take it.
So, Spencer, I am a bird lady. I love birds so much. This morning, I woke up early with my husband just so we could sit out and feed birds. I am wild about birds. And I've got to say, your hummingbird videos, which you already mentioned with regard to people and you making America a better place because of your hummingbird videos. But I got to say, your hummingbird videos fill my heart with love. They make my heart sing. How did you get into this world of hummingbirds? What happened? Did a hummingbird just land on your finger one day and you're like, that's it, I'm a hummingbird guy now? What happened?
So 4 years ago, Heidi found out she was pregnant and we were walking into the house. This hummingbird kept on buzzing my head, like almost attacking me. I was like, whoa, chill out, hummingbird. And then I looked to my right, like, what's going on? And there was this little nest with two tic-tac size eggs. And I was like, oh my gosh, Heidi, that's so cute. Like, and you're pregnant. A couple hours later, there's two little baby hummingbirds that have hatched. Unfortunately, I didn't see the actual like bust out the shell type action. But, you know, so then I'm watching these and I'm like, so I start Googling like meaning of baby hummingbirds and pregnancies. And then I'm like down a rabbit hole of like, these are interdimensional signs from the multiverse, that these are a spirit, you know. I don't even remember, like, I'd have to re-Google it, but enough where I'm like, okay, I am in charge of keeping these hummingbirds safe. So then there was like an El Nino coming and my mom's like, you need to make sure the nest doesn't fill with water and drown. So I set up all this tarps up in the trees and all da 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 da. I set out a live camera to like watch, make sure they're okay. So I'm watching them. They're about to fly out. It's been like at least a month of me watching them all day, every day, because I didn't have much going on. And then one day there was one missing. And so I run out there. I'm like, he must have fallen out. And I rewind my camera and a rat had hung upside down and ate one of my babies.
No.
So I call the animal wildlife rescue people. I'm like, what should I do? And they're like, bring the nest in immediately. Once a predator knows, we'll have a rehabber come tomorrow. So they came and they got the hummingbird to then, like, because this hummingbird needed, like, this special nutrient. They fly in from Germany that da-da-da-da. They're, like, is the same as, like, a mom. And then they're like, do you want us to re-release this hummingbird when it's ready back in your yard? I was like, duh. So however long that was, they call and they bring him back. And I named this hummingbird Alan. And so they're like, this is anticlimactic. So when, just get ready. He flies away. He never comes back type of thing. I'm like, that's fine. Alan flew right to where he was born and just sat there every day with me, letting me like pet him, put on me on his finger. And then this was in Santa Barbara. So then I became best friends with Alan, had to move to L.A., put out feeders. They started coming and now I have like 50 feeders. And you got to make fresh hummingbird nectar every day. 4 cups world water, 1 cup white cane sugar, never use red dye.
This has been such a delight, Spencer. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited somebody's talking about how to be famous.
Well, please also give our regards to Heidi and tell her how much we loved the book as well. It really did make our lives better.
Amazing. I'm going to drop the audiobook with her.
Awesome. And that's it for this episode of By the Book. Huge thank you to our production team. We love them so much. They should all be famous. Brandon Nix, Corinne Wallace, Daisy Rosario, and Andy Christens. Of course, also huge thanks to Nate Wyda, who composed our theme song, and to the Rizzos, who perform it.
Please stay in touch. Send us any questions or suggestions for future books to live by. Also, tell us, what is your favorite reality TV show? If you could be on a reality show, what show would you be on?
Our email address is kristenandjolenta@gmail.com. And you can hit us up on Twitter @ByTheBookPod and on Instagram @ByTheBookPod.
Also, please rate us and review us on Apple Podcast or Stitcher or wherever you get the show. It helps other people to find the show. And if you haven't done so already, please tell a friend about the show.
Until next time, I'm Jolenta Greenberg.
And I'm Kristen Meinzer.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Stitcher.